Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Our text is 1 Peter 1, verses 10 through 12. Our subject is how God speaks to people. And we have focused so far upon the work of the Holy Spirit as He spoke to the Old Testament prophets, because that tells us a great deal about how God speaks to people. It really helps us to understand that. And so far we have seen that He imparted information to these Old Testament prophets. We're talking now about the Holy Spirit of God, predicted future events. And of course, as He gave this revelation to these prophets, then they in turn reported that to the people. So He imparted information to them, and they imparted information to the people. He predicted future events, and so they also imparted prophecies about future events to the people, primarily about the coming Messiah. And He granted clarification in those cases where things were not always clear, and so that too would be passed along. And though He did not give all the details about the coming of Messiah, He gave enough details so that there was no question but that God had promised a Messiah, and that He would come, and that He would bring salvation, and that He was the completion of the promise of redemption that had been given to the Old Testament saints of God. So He did all these things, but He did more as well. In fact, He created within them a desire to understand Scripture. And that's the one we're going to deal with in a moment on this Monday, April 8. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for helping us with the cost of maintaining this broadcast on this station. Well, once again, 1 Peter 1:10, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. We read here of the Old Testament's prophets that they searched and inquired. Did you catch that? Who searched carefully. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. They inquired and searched carefully. Both of these words, searched and inquired, are words that speak of heated activity, of intense action. They're basically synonyms, and they're doubled like this in order to underline the point, to underscore it all the more. This is not just a casual, well, maybe sometime I'll take a look at that approach. This is intense activity on the part of the prophets. They were consumed with a desire to understand more of the Word of God. They searched diligently. They inquired. Again, an idea that has to do with exploring and turning over every possibility, seeking every avenue, asking all kinds of questions. They were searching for something. We're told what they are searching for. They're searching for more information about the coming Messiah. But the point is that this Spirit of God who was in them created in them a desire to understand the Scriptures. the Scriptures became more interesting to them than virtually anything else. They had a hunger for the Word of God. Now, these, of course, are the prophets through whom God is speaking His Word, to whom God is speaking His Word by the Holy Spirit, and through whom God is speaking His Word to the people. But in addition to the revelatory activity of the Holy Spirit upon these chosen prophets, there is also this intensifying of a desire for them to know everything they possibly can about the Word of God. I read it again. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory, or glories rather, that would follow. Now here's the point. The question is how God speaks to men. And as we saw on the broadcast Friday, the primary way that God speaks to men is through His Word. And when we say that God speaks to men through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit, we are to understand that the Holy Spirit's primary way of speaking to men is through His Word. Now, what we have described here in 1 Peter is the creation of Scripture. How did it come about? God didn't write it in heaven and drop a book from the sky. God rather chose men to be His spokesmen, prophets we call them, and revealed truth to them by His Holy Spirit, and they received this information, and they declared the information, sometimes verbally, but as far as the Scripture is concerned, only what they recorded in written form became the written Word of God, obviously. But this is how the Bible was created. But this is just fascinating that the very men God used to create the Bible were themselves stirred up with a red-hot interest in the Bible. So the activity of the Holy Spirit was not only to create the book we call the Bible, which is the Word of God, the revelation that comes down from heaven, but also to create an appetite for it. Now, here's the point. When God saves people, He creates a hunger for His Word. Peter said, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, which sometimes sounds like a command, an instruction, this is what you must do, but it probably would be better translated as a description. Because you are newborn babes in Christ, you will desire the milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Which is a way of saying, this is a mark of conversion. If you have an appetite for the Word of God, you are a child of God. If you have no appetite for the Word of God, what makes you think you are a child of God? Do you understand what I'm saying? No matter where we look, in the text we're looking at now, we see that the Holy Spirit created a great interest in the Word, in the prophets to whom He revealed the Word, which certainly says something about the prophets, but the Scripture I just quoted that applies to all Christians tells us the same thing is true of every born-again child of God, namely that one of the most important marks of conversion is a hunger for the Word of God. The babe analogy makes that clear. A newborn baby desires its mother's milk. It's not that some do and some don't. It's that all do. A baby who doesn't have the desire for or the capacity to take in milk, of course, is going to die, will not last. And that's a defective baby. When it comes to the children of God, God doesn't create any defective spiritual babies. If you are a newborn babe in Christ, you will desire the milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That's just the nature of a product of the new birth, as much as desiring human milk is a product of human birth, and those who have been born again will have a desire for the Word. So why do we have so many people in our day who call themselves Christians who seem to have little or no desire for the Bible? How about you? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? How does God speak to men? Through the book called the Bible. That is His Word. That is His Word. God speaks to men through His Word, that is, through the Bible, taught to us by the Spirit of God. We have to be born again to be able to understand the Bible. Many people aren't as honest as a lady that I talked to some time ago, who, as I talked to her about her relationship with God and the need to read the Bible and so forth, she said, "I wish I could understand it. I just can't understand it. I try to. I read it. I want to, but I can't understand it." And so I encouraged her to acknowledge that to God. I'm glad she acknowledged that openly and honestly, as most people will not, that she cannot understand the Word of God. Well, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him. They are spiritually understood. But the thing that is so encouraging to me about this woman is she knows she doesn't understand the Word of God, but she wants to understand it. She has a desire for it, even though she doesn't seem to have a capacity for it yet. I take that to be an indication of the Holy Spirit working in her heart. She has apparently not yet been brought to the new birth, but she sounds like she's being drawn to the new birth, being drawn to Christ. But what do you say about so many people who call themselves Christians who have so little interest in the Bible? Sometimes when I'm away from my own church on vacation or whatever, I'll visit another church, and I'm surprised at how many churches I visit where people don't bring their Bibles to church and do not utilize their Bibles when they're at church. Sometimes people don't bring their Bibles because there are Bibles in the pew, so they don't feel like they need to. But I've noticed that very often in churches like that, even though there is a Bible in the pew, nobody seems to be taking it out. Nobody seems to have any interest in it. And frankly, it really doesn't seem to be necessary. Now, thankfully, that's not true in all churches. But why is that true in many churches? What is going on in our day that people who call themselves Christians seem to have little interest in the Bible, that places that call themselves churches seem to have very little interest in teaching the Bible, in calling people's attention to the Bible? Why do we have people in the pew who have no appetite for the Word of God, and people in the pulpit who seem to be content to have it so, and don't therefore give much of anything from the Word of God? And then, to complete the circle as we go round again, people in the pew who are satisfied to not have the Word of God coming to them from the pulpit, why do we have people who call themselves Christians who will go days and weeks and in some cases years and never open a Bible at home? One of the first marks of conversion is an interest in the Word of God. That's what God does. That's how God speaks to us. Think about that and apply it to your own heart. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.